Just pause for a moment and consider a favorite Christmas or a favorite Easter memory. A favorite moment connected to the Easter story in your life. Could be last year, could be this morning, could be when you were 12. Faces of the people, places you went, the candy you ate, the joy you felt. Thank you, Lord, for these memories. Thank you that you continue to invite us to create new ones as you make us new creations every day. Amen. The Isaiah passage had a line in it I really liked. Actually, the whole bunch of those lines I really liked. But one of the lines was about a tree. Do you remember it? It was talking about how someone who lives beyond 100 years of age will be considered a youngster. How about that, huh? Now, that actually could be happening pretty soon. But it was a hyperbole, but certainly he was talking about in Jerusalem, in a city that's blessed by God, people should just live at a ripe old age because, well, nobody wants to die early. So living long life is sort of a sign that there's a blessing happening. When there's illness or tragedy or earthquakes, fires, volcanoes, all sorts of things can sometimes wreak havoc in our lives. So that metaphor of old age is awesome. And someone who doesn't live that old, it's almost like they were cursed. Oh my gosh, you only live to be 90? Oh, bummer. Wow. Tough. But also in this passage from Isaiah, speaking about a future, the kind of future that God wants, he says the city should be a place where the children can play in the street safely. That people should be able to build their own home and live in it, not build it for someone else and then someone else lives in it. That you should be able to use your gifts and your talents so that you can receive an income for that and you will prosper so much that you'll want to give that away to other people. This is the vision of a healthy city. Communities need wellness and health. Churches, communities of faith, ought to be the number one place where resources just overflow. Because a church is not a building, although this is a pretty cool building. This is a very cool building. Well, this morning, we were outside of a building, really. We were down at the grill at Sunset Beach. We had 109 people worship with us this morning. Absolutely beautiful weather. We heard the birds and we heard the waves and we heard the good news about Jesus. But that was in an out-of-building experience, other than being under the deck at the grill. But we had an experience because God is everywhere. God doesn't inhabit buildings, unless you're talking about the human body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't dwell you. Sometimes it may not feel like it. God does. And that spirit inside, that light inside your life, that spiritual side, is not something reserved just to think about when you're in a special building like this, the Red Brick Church. That special buildings are special and have special meaning because it's a cool place to be. It's a symbol of hope, like what was said about the Notre Dame Cathedral that burned last week. That, yes, it's just a building. It's just a bunch of stones. It's just a bunch of old stuff. But it's a symbol of hope for so many that it may be worth resources to keep that hope symbol alive. It doesn't solve hunger, 100 million to fix a building, 100 million to solve hunger. It's that scale of it to fix a building as a sign of hope is worthy, perhaps, because the resources otherwise might be generated if people can still be inspired by hope. That 100 million to fix a building might convert into 100 million people starting to care about their neighbors because of that sign of hope. And so Isaiah paints a picture of a future that God wants us to create today. The ultimate new Jerusalem will appear in some future time because Jesus is the God of the living and the future is confident when we have our faith placed in him. But God also wants us to be busy creating a community of hope right here, right now, because there are so many people that don't live in their own homes, so many people that don't have gainful employment, so many people that struggle with things that bind them up, and that faith communities are the place where we get nourished every week, not just on Easter. Another line in it was all about the example of old age, was about the tree, that like a tree lasts just the longest time, a healthy tree, so your life should be. You know, a tree from the very earliest in Scripture, it appeared that the tree in the Garden of Eden was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this tree was placed there, and God then created, after he created Adam and Eve, in that story, he creates trees and birds and other kinds of things. You can't have creation without a tree. We know the trees were important to Jesus. On a number of occasions, Jesus commented on a few trees. I remember the one about the fig tree. That's the one where he went to expecting to find fruit, and instead Jesus goes up to reach for the fig. Where's the fig tree? I mean, where's the figs on the tree? I said, oh, this thing hasn't produced fruit in years. It's well over time. And he said, maybe you should just cut it down. And the owner of the vineyard said in the parable, no, let's let it last another year or two because maybe it will yet produce fruit. And so trees are meant to be healthy and to produce fruit. Like us, we are trees planted in God's presence, in God's word, so that we can also be healthy. But a tree was also not only a symbol of life, it also was a symbol of death. Because there is, oftentimes in Scripture, you'll read and repeated in the New Testament, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In every culture, going back to ancient times, the tree could be a symbol of death. Cutting down a tree, making posts out of it, and planting it in the ground with some cross arms was the Romans' idea, to create a cross to kill people that were convicted of a crime, something that the government at the time didn't feel deserved life. Criminals, other kinds of people like that. And so a tree of life was cut down and planted in the soil, like on Golgotha, on the place of the skull where Jesus died, so that that tree that Jesus was hung on and died for us on, that tree of life became a tree of death. But as we know about the story of the empty tomb, that tree of death became a tree of life, because Jesus rose again from the dead. Because Jesus is in the business of taking what is dead and bringing life, taking what isn't working and making it work, taking what is impossible and turning it into possible, taking our ideas and thoughts and dreams and turning them into reality, that God is invested in us more than we are invested in ourselves. In a couple months, Melissa and I and the family are going to go on a vacation. We're going to Costa Rica. Now, there in Costa Rica is the newest volcano on the planet, seismologists tell us. The volcano is called Arenal. And this volcano is pretty interesting because it's still active. And did you know that it's the number one tourist spot in Costa Rica? Yeah, let's go to an active volcano. Let's play there. But it is, and over decades and decades, people have found that they know where the lava flows. It's very predictable. But in that area, what has happened over the last 40 or 50 years is that the volcanic ash that spewed into the air on a regular basis settles across all the farmland around that volcano. And that ash enriches the soil. So like Kona Coffee in Hawaii, also volcanic growth, it's really good. Costa Rica is a great place to grow coffee beans, to grow coffee. And so here, that volcano, although it's a sign of awful power and just destructive power, actually, what is produced in that volcano is earth-shaking. In fact, they found that around Arenal, one of the favorite tourist spots, are noticing the wooden fences along the roads around the volcano. And they're just wooden posts, wooden fences. But you know, they call them living fences now, because the volcanic ash and the enriched soil over the last decades have taken just a wooden post, a tree, and it's had new life sprout out of it. Branches have emerged. Like in the picture in the bulletin this morning, new life occurs after the top of the post is cut off. You can see the rings, how old the tree is, and out of that comes a new life. That's what Jesus promises us at Easter. Though it didn't look good on Good Friday, it wasn't Good Friday for Jesus. He died on a cross for us. But it was Good Friday because out of that tree of death came a tree of life. And although cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, Jesus took our penalty because God loves the whole world. And that includes you and it includes me. In fact, would you turn to a neighbor and just say, hope is for you, to your neighbor. Hope is for you. Hope is for you. That's right. And now I'd love you to say, hope is for me. Can you say that? Hope is for, say it loud. Hope is for me. The reason hope is for us is because when Jesus came, he came to inspire us to live our very best life. And that life means that the sins we commit, he gives us the power by the Spirit to set them aside and live better. He says to people, in your sin, sin no more. And he also says, no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter how tall, no matter how short, no matter how old, no matter how young, Jesus says, you know what? I have a plan for you, and I love you. I'm crazy about you. Jesus is crazy about you. And the tree of life that Jesus was on has offered now life for all of us. And that it becomes, Easter becomes ground zero. We don't have a physical life, and then we have this hidden spiritual life. Let's go to church and think about our spiritual life. And then when we leave, let's just think about our physical life, our mental life, our emotional life, our mental life. Let's just think about our political life. Let's think about our social life, all the different lives that we have. Well, God has come to integrate all of our life so that we don't put him in a compartment, because the Easter message is every day's message. It doesn't say he was risen. It says, hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's not he was risen indeed, although he was risen indeed. But the power of that is ground zero for a spiritual awakening. You know how chocolate can make you kind of hyper? All right, just watch the kids a little later, because they are right now devouring those baskets that they're having. So just watch out for them when they come back down. But just like we get on a physical upcycle after we eat, or sugar, we get a lot of sugar. When that kind of energy kicks in, our physical body, it affects everything about us, but we focus on our physical body, we're just hyper. Sometimes our blood pressure goes up. Sometimes we just got to take a break, drink more water, get rid of the chocolate. But you know, our spiritual life has been transformed even more than the candy might do for us on Easter. That the Spirit, knowing the spiritual truth, Peter says, that you have heard the good news. It's totally radical. Because it isn't Jesus was risen, it's he is risen now, today, and guess what? Tomorrow and next week. And that although we think about spiritual things, especially during special holidays, like those memories you had before we started, thinking about some wonderful Easter memories, all those memories are wonderful. But God doesn't want us to have to reach back 40 years to find a healthy, wonderful memory. He wants every day to have those kind of memories. And even though our days can be filled with sadness, despair, and fear, disappointment, anger, God can take it. We don't upset God and we say, hey, God, I really hate that you let this happen. I think you should probably just tell God how you feel. Because God will not be offended. Because remember, God cares about you. He knows you by name. He doesn't even misspell it, for those of you that have some weird names. He understands where you grew up, even though you might not want to tell people where you grew up. He knows how much you've accomplished in your life and some of the regrets that you still keep in a little pocket. Don't ever even want to go near it. Just, it's something that just weighs you down. Well, Jesus' death on the tree of life inspires us at ground zero to turn those regrets into forgiveness and to turn the sadness into joy And that though we experience sadness, Jesus experiences that with us too. When we're disappointed, Jesus knows what it's like to be disappointed. Did you know that his best friend betrayed him? Did you know that his super best friend denied him? Did you know that he was put on a cross after the governor of the area, Herod, and Pilate, the Roman leader, after they got together, they became best friends over Jesus. But both of them concluded, there's nothing wrong with this guy. Let's just send him out. And the people were roused up. The religious leaders at the time were so threatened by Jesus setting things right, upsetting what they had going on, their schemes and their rackets. Jesus came to set justice right. He came to deliver services, to heal the blind and to give legs to those who couldn't walk. He came to validate those who were invalid. Herod and Pilate become best friends. Let's just let Jesus go. But no, the crowd said, crucify him. We'd rather have Barabbas, a known murderer, let go in the community than to have Jesus walk around. Imagine that. So Jesus knows when you're disappointed. And Jesus knows when you just want to say, God, well, I'm really bummed by what you've done. Let him know that. And that's why a faith community is so important, because you'll have a safe place to say, I'm kind of mad at God right now. And you'll have friends that will stand with you and say, thank you for sharing that. You're absolutely right. I would be angry too if that happened to me. But then have the resources to turn death into life, disappointment into joy, regret into forgiveness. So make some new Easter memories today. And let's remember that Easter is a time where God's life is made manifest every single day, because Easter is ground zero. It's like the ash out of the volcano. It turns those wooden posts into trees of life again. God can do that for you. Whatever your name, whatever your place, God wants to turn your life into ground zero for hope, peace, and joy. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are not only our risen Lord, but you're also our rising Lord. That you are the one who is present with us at all times and in all places. That you erupt into our life and can bring us right now, this day, this new life that can build a new relationship. So as we just sit for a moment, can you feel the tremors of Easter's ground zero? That historical event that continues to shake us, to inspire us, and to give us life. Lord, thank you that whoever believes in you has life of abundance in this life and confidence in the life to come. Whatever our name, you know it, and you will always be with us. Amen.